Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Recent anti-American protests in Japan are a sign of growing disapproval of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's military policies. Last weekend, more than 65,000 people demonstrated on the island of Okinawa. Many Japanese are angry about U.S. military bases there. The anger intensified after a former U.S. Marine was arrested in connection with the death of a local woman in May. On Sunday, about 7,000 Japanese demonstrated near the Parliament building in Tokyo. The demonstrators called for the removal or reduction of the U.S. military presence in Japan. They also voiced opposition to Shinzo Abe's efforts to expand the security alliance between the two countries. And they oppose his plans to amend Japan's pacifist constitution to increase the power of the military. Jeff Kingston directs the Asian Studies program at Temple University's Japan campus in Tokyo. He said the mood of the public in Okinawa has gone from angry to extremely angry. Kingston told VOA that many Japanese are afraid the country will get involved somehow because of American orders. Last year, Abe's supporters in Parliament passed security legislation that changed 10 existing laws. The legislation gave the military more power to defend Japan's people and interests. As a result, the military can defend allies like the United States. Opponents argue that Abe's military policies will not make the country safer. They argue that the measures violated Article 9 of the country's constitution. Article 9 rejects the use of offensive force to launch a war or settle international disputes. On Tuesday, Katsuya Okada, leader of the opposition Democratic Party, promised to fight attempts to change the constitution. "This is something we just cannot accept," he said. Prime Minister Abe and his supporters argue that Japan needs a stronger and less restricted military. He says the country must be ready to deal with aggression from China and North Korea's nuclear activities. Amending the constitution in Japan requires agreement of two-thirds of both houses of the parliament. Abe said that the future of the military should be put to a national referendum. Public opinion studies show that more than half of Japan's population is opposed to both the recent security legislation and to amending the country's constitution.
Opinion studies in Britain show almost equal support for staying and remaining in the European Union ahead of a vote on the issue Thursday. British Prime Minister David Cameron made an appeal Tuesday for voters to support staying in the 28-member EU. "Brits don't quit," said Cameron in remarks outside his Downing Street office. He especially appealed to older voters who have been less supportive of the campaign to stay in the EU.
It will just be you in that polling booth. Just you, taking a decision that will affect your future, your children's future, your grandchildren's future.
He added, "They can't undo the decision we take. If we vote out, that's it. It's irreversible." Cameron also spoke to Britons who did not vote for him and may not agree with his policies.
I know not everyone has been happy with what I've done. But of this, I am convinced. Indeed, of this, every living Prime Minister, whether Labour or Conservative, is convinced. Britain is better off inside the EU than out on our own.
Cameron repeated his view that leaving the EU would harm Britain's economy and national security for many years. He has said the move could eliminate 500,000 jobs and lead to inflation. The British leader's latest comments came as one opinion survey found a small drop in support for EU membership. The poll was carried out by the company Survation. It has the Remain campaign leading with 45%, while Leave got 44%. Other surveys in recent days suggested the race is too close to call. British citizens will participate in the popular vote or referendum on Thursday. The Remain campaign got last-minute support Tuesday from a famous couple, David and Victoria Beckham. In a statement, the international soccer star compared the issue to the importance of a unified team in sports. "We live in a vibrant and connected world where together as a people we are strong. For our children and their children, we should be facing the problems of the world together and not alone." Beckham's wife, Victoria, is a fashion designer and former singer for the Spice Girls. She voiced her support on Instagram. She did so after the Leave campaign used words she spoke in the past to make it seem like she agreed with Britain leaving the EU. "I believe in my country. I believe in a future for my children, where we are stronger together, and I support the Remain campaign," Beckham wrote. The Leave campaign says a main reason for Britain to leave the group is increased immigration. It says Britain cannot effectively control the number of immigrants because of current EU rules. As part of its last-minute effort, the anti-EU Independence Party released a poster showing a traffic jam with the message, "The school overrun." The party claims immigration has left nearly one-fourth of British primary schools full or overcrowded. U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen spoke about the issue before the Senate Banking Committee. She said if Britain did vote to leave the EU, it could have significant economic repercussions. Yellen was asked whether she thought Britain's departure could cause a recession in the United States. "I don't think that is the most likely case, but we just don't really know what will happen, and we will have to watch very carefully." With voting just days away, betting brokers are profiting from the referendum. Last week, gambling bookmaker Skybet gave nearly even odds that Britain would leave the EU. Now, most companies are giving 3-to-1 odds against leave. I'm Brian Lynn.
A new study says students who attended for-profit private colleges in the United States to learn a trade saw their earnings drop. The report by the National Bureau of Economic Research said, on average, people who attended for-profit colleges made $920 less per year after they left school compared to before they started. People who attended public two-year colleges earned about $1,500 more per year than they did before starting their studies, the report said. And the report noted that about 9 out of 10 students borrowed money to attend for-profit colleges. The average debt for people attending two-year for-profit colleges was $8,000, according to the report. The report looked at schools preparing students for a number of trades, including healthcare assistant, dental assistant, auto mechanic, and cosmetologist. A cosmetologist works in a hair salon, cutting hair and creating styles for customers. Among the vocational trades examined by the research, only cosmetology programs appear to bring better pay in the for-profit sector, the report said. But overall, researchers found that many students who attended for-profit schools were worse off financially than they were before going to these colleges. They found lower pay benefits and higher debt for people attending private for-profit schools compared to public colleges in all 50 U.S. states. Their report comes as President Barack Obama's administration is trying to change some for-profit colleges' business practices. The association representing for-profit colleges said the study was faulty. In other words, it said the study was not designed or conducted well. The report reached another conclusion. Students at for-profit colleges paid more for their classes than students at public colleges did. Annual tuition at two-year profit-making schools averaged $8,118, compared to $712 at public community colleges, the report said. One reason for the difference in cost is that for-profit schools are run by private businesses. In comparison, community colleges are run by local and state governments, which keep tuition down by providing direct funding. The study's authors provide some qualifications for their study. They point out that the students they studied left school during the big U.S. economic downturn in 2008, when unemployment in the United States was rising. And when they adjust the data to count only people who completed their for-profit college certificate programs, earnings increased. However, about 40% of for-profit students leave school before completing their certification programs, according to the report. Even given these qualifications, the report's authors said their study shows how important it is for parents and students to do research before choosing a college. That research should include comparing the cost of different colleges and schools, the kind of jobs and pay students can expect after attending the schools, how much debt a student is likely to accrue to pay tuition and other costs. Steve Gunderson is president and chief executive officer of the Association of Private Sector Colleges and Universities. The association represents for-profit colleges. Gunderson said the study was faulty because it looked at earnings only 5 years after students left school. The report would show better results if it looked for wage gains over a longer time period, he said. He said for-profit colleges provide education chances for people who generally don't get to go to college. Gunderson called career education the most direct way to get people into the middle class. I'm Bruce Alpert.
All six of them, wearing black T-shirts, jeans, and caps turned to the side, jumped on the stage dancing to music. Meet the B-Boys Breakdancers. They are young people who have fled the war in Syria with their families. They recently sang and danced in a talent show in the large Arbat refugee camp in the Kurdistan area of northern Iraq. The show was organized by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, or UNHCR. Arzine Baruda was one of the performers. He had practiced for weeks with his friends. He said he wanted to tell people through his performance that even though he is a refugee, he still has talent. He and his friends learned many of their dance moves by watching videos on the internet. Baruda is one of almost 8,000 young Syrian refugees living in the Sulaymaniyah area. Most of them do not attend classes because their parents do not have the money to pay for the schooling. Hundreds of refugee families watched the show, which lasted for a few hours. It was a chance to forget how far from home they are. UNHCR worker Marco Rotuno helped organize the event. He said it was a chance for young performers to show that they are more than just refugees. He said when he told people about it, there was a light in their eyes. He said they thought, oh, I can do something. I want to participate. Rojbin Abdelaziz is a 17-year-old dancer who has been in the camp for 2 years. She says the event gave her a chance to show the power of girls. She says boys are considered more important than girls. She says boys can dance everywhere and any time, but girls cannot. So she helped create a group called ABCD. Its letters stand for Anybody Can Dance. The five teenage girls learned how to dance from watching Bollywood movies. Those are movies made in India that have many dancing scenes in them. Abdelaziz said it was not easy to get her mother's permission to dance. Her teammates said it was probably the last time they would be able to dance in public. Abdelaziz said the performance changed her life. She says members of her family in Syria called her and said they had seen her on YouTube and Facebook. She says, that makes me happy. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
This is What's Trending Today. LeBron James was understandably emotional Sunday night after he led the Cleveland Cavaliers to the National Basketball Association championship. Photographs of the basketball star crying after the win spread quickly on social media. To some people, the photos looked a lot like the popular internet meme, #CryingJordan. The Crying Jordan meme is based on a picture of former basketball star Michael Jordan crying. People have been posting the picture on social media whenever their favorite sports team loses or in connection with any other disappointing event. On Tuesday, the ABC television show Good Morning America asked its followers on Twitter about a possible new hashtag crying LeBron meme. The tweet made note of other famous memes. The tweet included the photo of Michael Jordan crying and a picture of Kermit the Frog drinking tea. Kermit the Frog is part of the popular internet meme known as None of My Business. People use the Kermit meme to make jokes about questionable behaviors in everyday social situations, according to the website knowyourmeme.com. Good Morning America's tweet read, "Does crying LeBron join other meme greats like hashtag T-Lizard and crying Jordan?" Twitter users quickly reacted, criticizing the TV show for calling Kermit the Frog a lizard. Kermit is, of course, a frog puppet, not a lizard puppet. The hashtag T-Lizard quickly took over the internet. And that's what's trending today.
If you are like most students, you probably sit still while learning a new language. However, sitting still may not always be the best way to learn. English learners can improve their language skills through movement, says Tamara Jones. She works at the English Language Center at Howard Community College in Maryland. Jones notes that English learners can improve their pronunciation by studying with something really simple, a rubber band. So, what is the relationship between physical movement and the brain? The idea is that the brain and the body are joined together. This means that one affects the other. Many people are familiar with the idea that the brain tells the body to move. And many people are familiar with the idea that repetition, repeating an action over and over again, helps your brain to remember. However, some research, such as a study by Morsella and Krauss, suggests that your body might help your brain to find memories. Specifically, movements we make with our body, such as hand gestures, may help us to remember and use the correct words. This idea is part of the reason why experts on learning strategies, which are ways to improve the learning process, suggest using movements. One learning strategy approach, the Cognitive Academic Language Learning Approach, or CALA, calls the use of movements using your kinesthetic sense. Beyond helping the brain to find memories, movements also aid in learning, says Tamara Jones of Howard Community College.
There's a lot of research that suggests what you do with your body, you remember with your brain. And also, a lot of these physical movements will encourage us in class or in life, when we're practicing on our own, to repeat and repeat and repeat the words as we're doing the physical movement. And this also helps us remember the words.
One of the biggest problems for English learners, Jones says, is learning and remembering the correct word stress. Word stress means saying some syllables in a word louder than other syllables. Jones notes that word stress mistakes can happen in many ways.
Sometimes they can add an extra syllable, like instead of saying chocolate, they could say chocolate. Sometimes students cut syllables. So, for example, instead of saying tofu, they might say tof. And sometimes students stress the wrong syllable. So, for example, instead of saying coffee, students might say coffee.
The problem, Jones says, is that English speakers remember words according to the stress pattern. If an English learner uses a different stress pattern, then a native speaker may have a hard time understanding. This is because the stress pattern that the English learner uses is different from the pattern that the native speaker remembers. One way English learners can solve this problem, Jones adds, is to study the stress pattern when they first learn a word. English learners can find many free online dictionaries that give pronunciation guidance. When you search for words, you will see the phonetic spelling next to the main word. So, if you wanted to learn the word telephone, you would go to the dictionary and look at the pronunciation guide that is next to the word. The phonetic spelling is listed between the word and the part of speech. The apostrophe sign at the front of the phonetic spelling shows that it is the part of the word that should be stressed. Jones says English learners should pronounce the stressed syllable longer and with higher tone or pitch. This action will make the vowel sounds clearer in the stress syllable. At this point, movement comes in. One fun way, Jones says, to make sure that you are pronouncing the stressed syllable clearly and holding it longer is by using a rubber band.
When students are learning new words, they can practice repeating these words and pulling on the rubber band on the stressed syllable. So, for example, for the a word like telephone, the first syllable is the stressed syllable. So as I'm saying telephone, I will pull on the rubber band for tell and then reduce the other syllables, the phone, so I'm not saying them as clearly.
Doing this exercise, Jones says, will not only help you remember how the word sounds, but also influence you to practice more. You should be careful about how you use physical movements when learning a new language. Choosing movements at random will probably not help you. However, if you use a specific movement, such as pulling a rubber band, for a specific purpose, such as improving your understanding of stressed syllables, you may have success. Remember, pulling a rubber band will not give you superhuman memory or enable you to pronounce every word perfectly. However, it can be a useful, fun supplement for language study. If you want to improve your pronunciation, try Jones's rubber band idea by following these three steps. Choose a dictionary that has pronunciation guidance. Look up a new word in the dictionary to learn the stress pattern. Practice saying the word many times while pulling a rubber band. Try using movements, such as pulling a rubber band, in your language studies, and let us know how they work for you. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.